In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. Today's episode comes to you from historic Providence, Rhode Island, in the heart of New England. Today we're going to meet a university student whose dad is a Presbyterian pastor. In this episode, we'll see how her desire to have a more personal relationship with Jesus helped her come into the Catholic Church. Like everyone else in this series, today's guest came home to the Catholic faith thanks to Catholics Come Home and responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Lydia Clark. Lydia, thanks so much for being with us today, and welcome home.
Thank you for having me.
Lydia, where did you grow up, and what was your family's faith background?
Well, I grew up in Warwick, Rhode Island. Rhode Island has a lot of personality, and when you go from town to town, you get different personalities. Providence is like a big city packed into a small area with not as many people, but great personality. Warwick, where I grew up, was kind of your idyllic suburb in some ways, but it had a very strong community and a very strong identity. Warwick is a very Catholic community, but I didn't really experience that as much going to a Protestant school, going to a Protestant church. I was in kind of a bubble. I live with my dad and my brother and sister. My mom passed away when I was 7, so I was raised by my dad. My dad was a Presbyterian minister. Faith was always a big part of our lives. I went to a Baptist school, and we were just raised to have God as the center. Had a strong biblical knowledge, memorized countless Bible verses from my days in school, and it was a good life. I had some struggles when I was a kid because I had an undiagnosed mood disorder when I was younger. Also some issues, like unresolved issues dealing with the loss of my mom. I also had a learning disability, so I had a lot of struggles in school. But, you know, I made it through. Sometimes I had a lot of trouble with feeling like I was the black sheep. As a pastor's kid, you're held to this really difficult standard that's hard to meet. And I always felt like I couldn't meet that standard, and I found a lot of trouble compensating for it.
You always seem to have a strong faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. How did that help you get through these sadnesses and difficulties in life growing up?
I turned to the Bible a lot when I was having trouble. Had a lot of Bible verses memorized from my days at school, especially with my mom passing away. You know, as a 7-year-old, you got a lot of magical thinking, like, oh, she'll raise from the dead. Because you're 7, you don't have that kind of higher thinking yet. But once I understood the permanency of death, turning to the Bible and to my faith helped me focus on the promise of heaven. When I was having trouble with my mood and my learning disability, turning to the Bible and learning that, you know, being ill is not your fault, and God can use that for His glory. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians where St. Paul talks about his struggles with his own illness. Some people believe it was epilepsy. You know, some people believe it was something psychological, but he never really says the thorn in his side. And when he talked about it, he said he asked God to take it away, but by God's power, he was made perfect in weakness. And that was really inspiring to me, dealing with my struggles. You know, like, okay, God's not going to take my problems away. God's not going to bring my mom back. God is not going to make me stop feeling depressed. We need drugs for that. God is not going to take away my learning disability, but He can use this for His glory. So that was always something that was very comforting to me.
What was your view of Catholicism as a child?
I saw the Catholic Church as this standoffish, kind of legalistic church, and kind of an other. And I thought that Catholics, you know, hated the Protestants. I had all these misconceptions about how they wanted was money, And like the thing about the Reformation, paying for souls in purgatory, the corruption in Germany. I thought that was standard. I thought they still did that. Other stuff too, I heard about annulments. I thought you had to buy annulments. And I thought they're making money off divorce. That's terrible. All these misconceptions I had because I never was really encouraged to open my mind to that. I was never exposed to true Catholicism as a kid.
When did you start questioning sola scriptura and Protestantism?
It was when I was in college. I first went to Gordon College, straight out of high school, and that is an evangelical Christian college in Massachusetts, north of Boston. And there I got a very solid Bible education. They have a very strong Bible program. I was learning all these different things about the Bible that I'd never known before. Over the summer, in between my freshman and sophomore year, I took a Christian theology class. And that was kind of a turning point for me. Because it really got me to think about theology in a way they probably wouldn't even wanted me to think about it. It was very in-depth all the way it led up to the Council of Nicaea. Then suddenly, we briefly touched on Aquinas, briefly touched on Augustine, and then suddenly we were talking about the Reformation. And I was starting to think, what happened all those years in between? What was going on there? And when we talked about the Reformation, we learned all about the different views, and at the end of the year, we had to write a paper. So I decided to write about John Calvin's views on the sacraments. And I wrote what was a really good paper. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but it was a good paper. I did some really in-depth research. I read Institutes of the Christian Religion. That is a heavy book. When I got the paper back, I'd gotten a B. And I'm like, what is this? I don't deserve a B. I deserve an A. But then the professor had written on the paper, I want to hear less about what Calvin believes and more about what you believe. And I sat there looking at that, and I say, I don't know what I believe. I'm 19 years old. You know, I don't even know what I want to do with my life, let alone what I believe. But then I thought, you know, maybe I should figure this stuff out. For so long, I'd known about what Presbyterians believe and what other Protestant denominations believe, but I never really thought too critically about the theology behind it. So I started doing some research about different denominations. I took a lot of those silly personality quizzes online, like, what Christian denomination do you belong in? Somehow, I ended up on the Catholic Answers Forum on an old thread that was from a few years ago. And the thread was called, If the Catholic Church is Wrong, Which Protestant Denomination is Right? And when I was reading through this, I'm like, oh, these guys, they're so arrogant. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. But as I read through it, they started, you know, giving these reasons that, you know, were starting to make sense to me. They said stuff like, you know, the Catholic Church put together the Bible. Do you think the Bible is trustworthy if you're a Protestant? How do you know? Questions like that. And then I noticed they kept mentioning sola scriptura. Now that I knew what sola scriptura was, I knew that it meant that the Bible alone was the sole rule of faith. And that was something I had taken for granted my whole life. I just thought it was something all Christians believed. And then I found out it's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you can only get doctrine and truth from the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say scripture is the sole rule of faith. In fact, the apostles were making decisions, doctrinal decisions, without the Bible. You can see in Acts where they had that one of the first councils, the Council of Jerusalem, to talk about circumcision, and they made a decision about it without even consulting scripture. You can also see some Bible verses, such as in 1 Peter, where it says that no scripture is subject to individual interpretation. Then I learned more about it from kind of a philosophical and historical angle. Historically, no Christians believed in sola scriptura until the Reformation. So I'm thinking, oh, that's what happened in all those years before the Reformation. From a philosophical perspective, it's self-defeating. You know, even if the Bible did say it was the sole rule of faith, how do you know the Bible is the sole rule of faith? The Bible says so. It's a circular argument. If you have no outside authority to declare the Bible authoritative, then how do you know it is?
In a moment, we'll find out what happened next in Lydia's journey of faith.
Hearing personal stories in general, both from him, from other converts, and from Catholics come home, really helped me realize other people have done this. I can do it too.
What is your pathway to Jesus Christ? For centuries, untold numbers have come to develop a relationship with the Son of God. Yet we believe that when God our Father designed our humanity, so did He offer the best pathway in which we can encounter His Son and become holy. And that pathway is the Catholic Church. It is through the Catholic Church, its sacraments, and its ministers that God can love us most personally and most completely. And it is through the treasures of the Church that we can most intimately find Christ. Christ himself founded the Church, and this Church is his bride. So tender and personal is Christ's relationship with his Church. How then could we not fully embrace this gift? And where else can we find a greater, more personal presence of Christ himself? The Catholic Church is truly God's gift to his people. What better pathway to Christ than his very bride, the Church?
It is here where you'll find the best marriage counselor, greatest healer, wisest teacher, and closest friend.
I need your grace. I need your favor. I need your mercy. I need a savior.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope, since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
So the seeds of doubt about Protestantism had started. When did you start the change and start looking at Catholicism?
My faith was very much shaken, because that had been one of the core foundations of my faith. And I was, it was something I had taken for granted for all those years. I thought to myself, okay, I can either become Catholic, I can become Orthodox, because those, from what I knew, were the two denominations that did not believe in sola scriptura, or I can abandon Christianity altogether. And my faith was really shaken. I felt uncertain. And I still saw the Catholic Church, this standoffish organization that was full of legalism and was unapproachable. But then I remembered seeing the Catholics Come Home ads on TV, and I saw them recently. And they seemed so welcoming and so accepting. And I thought, hey, let's give this Catholic Church a try. So I Googled Catholics Come Home, and I came across the website. I clicked on the little link that said, I'm not Catholic, or I'm Protestant, or something. I read everything on that website, everything it had to say. And it answered a lot of my objections. One of the books recommended on the website was Rome Sweet Home by Scott Hahn. And I looked that up, I got it from the library, and I kind of read that in secret. I was making sure nobody at college and nobody in my house saw it. And I read through it all very quickly. And Scott Hahn was a Presbyterian minister who became Catholic. And I really related to a lot of what he had written. And he has a way of speaking in a way that someone from a Reformed background can really get it. Hearing personal stories in general, both from him, from other converts, and from Catholics Come Home, really helped me realize other people have done this. I can do it too.
How did your original view of Catholicism change to be one where you found it more welcoming?
Me and my fiancé would drive past churches in our diocese and see these big banners that said, "Return with all your heart." And at first I thought, that was just for lapsed Catholics. That's what they want to bring back with this. But then I started reading the writings of Pope Benedict XVI, which they're a lot more accessible than people think they are. He's very good at wording things, and his writings are very digestible. And one thing he wrote is that he did not like people who came from of the Protestant church to the Catholic church to call themselves converts. And I was like, that's interesting, because whenever I hear about people talking about becoming Catholic from Protestantism, they call themselves converts. And he said it's because they were always Christians by virtue of their baptism. They were just an imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. And when they became Catholic, they didn't convert to a new religion. They were received into the Catholic Church. So then I realized the Catholics Come Home ad wasn't saying Catholics, just Catholics come home. They were saying Christians come home. And it was welcoming all Christians.
You mentioned you have a fiancé. What was his faith background?
My fiancé, Bill, was baptized Catholic, like most people in Rhode Island, but he was not raised in the faith. He always kind of was spiritual, kind of more of a, I'm agnostic, but I think you should be nice to people kind of thing. His freshman year of college, that's when we started dating. We started talking a lot more about religion. And he went out and he purchased a Bible and started reading it on his own. And he was very convicted by the teachings of Jesus and the Gospel of John. And he decided that he wanted to become a Christian. And he joined the Presbyterian Church with me. He became very strong in his faith. We met a lot of hardships when we were first dating because I was sick with chronic Lyme disease. And I went without a diagnosis for a long time. I had some very severe neurological symptoms. And I was probably not an easy girlfriend to have, but he stuck by me. We had just a very strong relationship because of the tough stuff we've been through. He's just such a great person.
What were the next steps in becoming Catholic?
He had only gone to Mass a few times as a kid, and I had never been to a Mass at all. So we didn't really know what to expect. So I went on the Catholics Come Home website, and I went to the Mass Times website on the link and looked up parishes near where we lived. I was, you know, very uncomfortable. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't understand the missal. People were doing all these weird things I'd never seen anybody do before, like the glory to you, oh Lord. I'd never seen that before. And I'm like, what are these guys doing? Why won't they tell me what to do? And I thought it was like so much like, you know, ceremony and ritual and pomp and circumstance. And I'm just like, this is so different from what I'm used to. What's going on here? One of the reasons we kept going is just how welcoming they were. They love seeing new people. And they were saying, oh, come back, you know. But they weren't doing it in a way that we felt like there was pressure on us to convert right away. And it was a slow journey. We slowly got used to the Mass. We decided not to go to RCIA as soon as we started going to Mass because we wanted to get used to things and make sure we really wanted to do this.
When did you come into the church and what's next?
We came into the church on April 2013 for the Easter Vigil. We had been in RCIA for 6 months at that point. We started in September, and it was such a great journey for us. We really had like a little family in our RCIA class. We really developed a great relationship with our pastor, Father Wilson, as well as with our RCIA teacher, Deacon Edsel. And when we came into the church, I felt such a sense of belonging and community and being part of something so much bigger than myself.
Soon we'll discover what's happening in Lydia's life today.
I really feel like kind of a new sense of purpose in my life that I wasn't really feeling in my late teens. And I feel like my faith really guides a lot of what I do.
This episode helps us to focus on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In my book, Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, chapter 1 has a reflection at the end that asks the question, what are the things that I can do in my life that will help me to focus more closely and grow closer to Jesus Christ? You know, we've learned over the years that receiving the Eucharist worthily is one of the best things we can do in our relationship, our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We receive Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And in the sacrament of reconciliation, the priest is there in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, who's been given the authority by God to forgive us of our sins. So as we stay close to the sacraments, we as evangelists can recommend those sacraments to others on their faith journey, showing them how the Eucharist, the sacrament of reconciliation, reading God's Word are all ways in which we can draw closer to Christ in our personal relationship with Him.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
So you and your fiancé became Catholic. What's next in your life?
Our wedding. We are getting married July 27th, which is also my dad's 60th birthday. We waited so long to get married, and we're so excited to finally be together.
What are you doing in your life now?
I am majoring in human development and family studies. I plan to go into a career in the human services. Billy has moved to Providence. I'm going to join him after the wedding. I spend a lot of time in Providence. I do an unpaid internship at Times Square Academy. And I also go to the URI Providence campus. It's a great city, and I've fallen in love with it. I really feel like kind of a new sense of purpose in my life that I wasn't really feeling in my late teens. And it's very exciting, and I feel like my faith really guides a lot of what I do.
How does your strong Catholic faith help you to evangelize?
Well, the Great Commission in Matthew says to go forth and evangelize. But evangelizing isn't just, you know, handing out tracts and trying to convert people to Christianity. Evangelizing is showing the love of Jesus and the spirit of charity within your community, where you are right now. As Mother Teresa said, your Calcutta is where you are. So I try to reach out in the community as much as I can. I'm very active in my parish. I also have an unpaid internship at Times Square Academy, where I work with urban inner city kids with special needs. And I found you can reach out to the community and evangelize without, you know, having to beat them over the head with the gospel message. And it's been a great experience. I plan to volunteer more. And my future career in the human services is partially influenced by my faith, because I believe that spreading the love of Jesus is more than just handing out tracts and witnessing. It's about helping people and the spirit of charity and giving when you don't expect anything in return.
How do the sacraments play a part in your faith?
I go to confession every other week, and confession was something I was very apprehensive about when we were in RCIA. I was nervous about it from the start. But when I first went, I realized something. I wasn't talking to Father Wilson in the little confessional. I was confessing my sins to Jesus and being absolved by Jesus. And it's a personal relationship with Christ on a level I never had before. The Eucharist is as personal a relationship with Jesus as you can get, because it is Jesus' real presence right on that table. Taking the Eucharist, I feel, helps me live out my faith and strengthens me to go forth into the community.
Lydia, we're so glad you've been with us today. We're glad you and Bill came into the church, and welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be home.
There are certain tools I simply can't evangelize without. My go-to evangelization resources are the answer to today's viewer question. What resources can I use to help me in my evangelization conversations? First, I recommend the best resource available in your work of evangelization, the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting in your conversations with those away from the faith. Pray to Him before all your conversations and ask Him to guide you in your words. God wants the person you are conversing with to come home even more than you do. He will empower you with grace through His Spirit if you only ask Him. Second, personal witness. Testimonies, like the ones you have been hearing on the show, are powerful tools in evangelizing others. Even if you don't have a coming home story, you do have a story of how God has and is working in your life, in and through His Catholic Church. Tell your positive story. It is a powerful, personal way to encourage another person to make her own leap of faith. Third, the great books of evangelization, the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. St. Jerome famously said, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." Read your Bible to better know Christ and share Him with others. In addition, familiarize yourself further with what you believe as a Catholic by reading the Catechism. Reading both together will help you better articulate what the Church teaches to others. Fourth, Catholic books and internet resources. There is a treasure trove of fantastic books and websites out there to help you share your faith. In addition to Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, we recommend you read Terry Barber's How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. Also check out CatholicsComeHome.org for all sorts of great faith-sharing tools. Finally, helping lead people back to the Church takes time and patience. Ask the Lord and others to help you stay the course in this important work. We're in a marathon, not a sprint.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the Church thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@CatholicsComeHome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. In her quest for truth and a more personal relationship with Jesus, Lydia found her way home to the Catholic faith. Soon after receiving that warm and welcoming invitation herself, Lydia then helped her own fiancé into the Catholic Church. We thank you for joining us on this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please keep Lydia, her family, and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. Remember to fulfill your role in the new evangelization by helping to love somebody to heaven.
I've got love, somebody to love.